Tensions remain high in Israel, following Iran's first ever direct attack on Israel. Iran says the attack was in retaliation for a strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus in Syria, which killed several senior Iranian military figures. Although most of Iran's missiles and drones were downed by Israel and its allies, and Iran has indicated that the matter has been concluded, the risk of further regional escalation remains. Hello and welcome to this Global Situation podcast from International SOS, the leading health and security risk services company. I'm Chris Giles. Well, joining me for this episode is Rory Keith, International SOS's lead security analyst covering Israel and the Palestinian territories, and security manager for assistance Taylor Alhaj. So Rory, can you give us an overview of what's happened between Israel and Iran? And what are the immediate security implications for people who are in Israel right now?
Overnight on the 13th to the 14th of April, over 300 drones and missiles were fired towards Israel from Iran, as well as from Syria and Iraq. 99% of these were intercepted. Inside of Israel, one civilian was injured by falling shrapnel from an intercepted projectile, and some minor damage was caused at Israeli air bases. Iran has stated it carried out the attack in retaliation for the 1st of April strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus in Syria, which killed several senior Iranian military figures. Iran blames Israel for the attack and had vowed to retaliate.
And Rory, how is Israel likely to respond to the attack by Iran?
Israel has vowed a response. Although Iran has indicated that its actions against Israel has concluded, this means that Israel is likely to embark on some sort of military action in response to the attack. The exact extent of this action remains unclear for the time being, with Israel's war cabinet responsible for making a decision reportedly divided. The timing, scale and location of any response have not been decided yet. We can infer what Israel is attempting to achieve by looking at public statements made by the war cabinet and from members of Israel's government. So far, all signs seem to point towards building an international consensus for a coalition against Iran, imposing sanctions on Iran, and conducting some limited military activities. These might therefore target Iranian allies in Syria and Iraq rather than targeting Iran directly.
Okay, thanks for the moment, Rory. Well, let's bring in security manager Taylor Alhaj. And can you tell me what concerns have we been hearing from our clients who've got workforce in the region?
So right now, following the temporary regional airspace closure on the 13th and 14th of April in Israel, Jordan, Iraq and Lebanon, amid the gradual resumption of commercial flights, we're seeing an increased demand and limited availability of commercial flight options. The primary requirement that our clients have come to us with is securing options to depart Israel.
And how have we been able to assist clients who've contacted us in recent days?
Over the last few days, International SOS has been able to assist our clients with identifying commercial flight options, sourcing charter flight options, and then we've also been able to assist clients in the region with secure ground movements, leveraging our robust network of security partners in country. As in October 2023, when we conducted 4 charter evacuation flights and more than 60 separate ground evacuations, in the last couple of days, we've been able to ramp up our support for clients by providing these options to help them with both internal and cross-border movements. This has included transfers to commercial flights at Israel's Ben Gurion Airport, as well as in cross-border movements from Israel to Amman in Jordan, from where we were able to put clients into hotels and then, of course, onto onward commercial flights.
Finally, Taylor, some of our clients may have recently returned to Israel. So how are we able to support them if they want to stay in the country?
Even before the events of the 13th of April, since October and particularly over the last several months, we've supported several organizations that have resumed essential operations in Israel. This is by providing risk assessments, secure managed journey support, and then, of course, monitoring to enable their resilience in country. We are well positioned to do so going forward, and we maintain several security and ground transportation partners that operate in Israel, as well as in the Palestinian territories, Jordan, Lebanon, and Iraq.
Thanks, Taylor. Now back to you, Rory. And while it's still unclear what action, if any, Israel may take, I wonder if you could explain what signs might indicate an escalation of the conflict with Iran.
There are a number of triggers that we're examining and scanning for that might necessitate an increase in our evacuation monitor rating and require a potential evacuation of all workforce from Israel and the West Bank. Principally, a further attack by Iran on Israel, either directly or through proxies, could indicate an escalation of the situation. This is unlikely in isolation, however, given how Iran has stated its attack is over. So before this scenario were to play out, we would likely see a statement in the coming days from Israel's war cabinet indicating a harsh military response. Such a statement, however, may not be made public, and the first sign may instead be that of Israeli jets headed for Iran or of widespread Israeli airstrikes in Iran rather than on Iranian allies in Iraq or Syria. Additionally, another thing that we're monitoring is the situation between Israel and its northern neighbour Lebanon, and specifically negotiations between Israel and Lebanese factions regarding the enforcement of the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1701. That's the resolution that would limit Hezbollah to areas north of the Litani River in southern Lebanon. So far, the United States has been mediating such talks through its emissary, but Hezbollah has said that it won't agree to anything whilst Israel is still fighting in Gaza. So at a later date, if we see those peace talks break down and Hezbollah withdraw and proceed with a more military response, that could be a sign of a worsening situation. Likewise, the launch of long-range and precision-guided missiles by Hezbollah from Lebanon to Israel is another signifier that could indicate that the situation is deteriorating badly, that in turn could lead to the short-notice closure of Israeli airspace. Additionally, if there were to be ground-level incursions by fighters across Lebanese, Syrian or West Bank demarcation lines, that would be another signifier, or several high-impact simultaneous or coordinated militant attacks in Israeli population centres. Finally, a prolonged closure of Ben Gurion Airport, happening at the same time as Israeli borders with Jordan are closed. Paradoxically, of course, this would mean that evacuations weren't possible, but it would also be a sign that the situation has deteriorated to the point where an evacuation is necessary for all workforce.
Prior to this, Israel was preparing an offensive in Rafah. What impact might these recent developments have on that?
So Israel was set to start leafleting ahead of the offensive on the 15th of April, but this has now been deferred to an unknown or undecided future date. The offensive, should it go ahead, still has the potential to elevate tensions and possibly draw a response from Hezbollah or other regional actors. In the event that Israel does pursue an offensive within Rafah, high civilian casualties or reports of mass casualty incidents among civilians could act as a catalyst for such a situation in which Hezbollah, Iran or Iranian proxies decide to attack Israel again. For the time being, however, this is uncertain, so we don't know if Israel will still choose to go ahead with a Rafah offensive. But Israel has seemed to be thoroughly committed to this path and according a top priority to this. We can see this from the fact that Israel's chosen to go ahead with this path despite American objections.
Finally, Rory, what's our assessment about people undertaking travel to the wider Middle East region at this time?
Travel can proceed to the wider Middle East region, but that varies from country to country. So in Lebanon, we still recommend to defer all travel. This is due to the heightened risk of escalation between Israel and Hezbollah. In Iraq, essential travel to Iraq can continue, but this requires stringent security precautions. There is a risk of resumption of attacks on US bases and interests in the country at present, and there is also the risk of airspace closure in the case of further escalation between Israel and Iran. For Egypt, travel can proceed as normal, but bear in mind that developments in Gaza and the aforementioned Rafah offensive may have an impact in the Sinai Peninsula. However, any impact in Egypt is likely to be contained entirely within the Sinai Peninsula, and more likely the northern part of the Sinai Peninsula, which is an unlikely destination for travel. In Jordan, travel can proceed as normal, but much like Iraq, there is a risk of airspace closure in the event of an escalation between Israel and Iran in future, although it is unlikely that Jordan would be targeted directly in any hostilities. For the GCC, so Saudi, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, UAE and Oman, travel can proceed as normal. The security environment in the GCC countries remains stable. Their robust security and air defence capabilities further mitigate the risk of incidents linked to heightened regional tensions.
OK, Rory and Taylor, thank you very much for all your analysis and advice.
Well, that's all for now, but just a reminder that you'll be able to access all the latest information and updates about Israel and the Palestinian territories from our website. That's internationalsos.com. And from there, you can find out about our global network of assistance centres, available to clients 24/7. But until next time, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.